Well, Sue, that was for you, working class man. And
thank you.
So Sue's with me in studio tonight. She's had a wonderful career in broadcast journalism, living around Australasia, including a period in New Guinea, which is relevant for our next story. The people of Papua New Guinea claim they invented gardening 10,000 years ago. They're certainly some of the best gardeners in the world, and they grow some of the finest coffee and chocolate available. Now their chilli and ginger is being exported to Australia. And Sue Ahern spoke to Ian Herbie-Hempel, an Australian foodie legend. He's just returned from talking to farmers in PNG.
Hi, Ian. Welcome to Travel Writers Radio.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, it sounds most interesting, the spices, chilli and ginger from Papua New Guinea. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. Well, what was interesting in the first place was, first of all, with respect to chilli, many years ago, our family used to buy bird's-eye chillies that were coming from Papua New Guinea. And it seemed that the supply became harder and harder to get, and then eventually it was very difficult to get them. And then a company got in touch with me who was instigating a program to try to help local farmers to get some reasonable revenue for the crops they were producing, and very much focusing also on the women in the communities, being able to get this income and sort of really make some viable businesses, because a lot of what they were harvesting, they were only selling locally. So anyway, they said, why don't you come up to PNG and have a look and see what they're doing and have a look at the quality, etc. And so that's what took me up there. And it was really good to see that these spices were being grown at, you might say, a real community level. And the people, of course, had a lot of experience in doing it, but the methods of cultivation were also interesting, because when it came to things like the chilies, they're very, of course, weather-dependent, very seasonally dependent. They don't have irrigation, so if it's a dry year, the yield is going to be very low. When it came to the ginger that I went to see, that's one where everything is done by hand, the hand tilling, the lifting of the rhizomes, the harvesting, all that. And it was, of course, most importantly, I was very impressed with the quality of these spices. And so that's why we decided that we would import them and add them to our range.
Did you actually get to meet the farmers and go to the areas where they've been grown?
We did. The first area I went to was south of Port Moresby to the Rigo district. And I met a farmer there called Daniel, and it is quite interesting. When I've been to a number of countries and spoken to producers, now the thing that's really funny is their first thought is, why is this guy so interested? Like it'd be as if, you know, someone from Japan wanted to go out and talk to somebody growing potatoes out at Pitt Town, and you'd think, well, you know, why are you so interested? But of course, once they realise why you are interested in these items, why you want to look at them, know more about them, and you want to know all the various things that that cause problems for them, that work well, etc., and then they really open up and are lovely. So it was very pleasant meeting them, and I've found this generally in rural communities that people are extremely hospitable and very, very happy to share their knowledge with you and talk to you about all aspects of what they're doing.
So how do their chilli and chilli and ginger, how do they compare with what you're seeing from other countries?
The main thing about the chilies is that they have a really beautiful flavour profile, which it must just be the soil and climatic conditions, because they're still all members of the capsicum family. And of course, like anything that's agriculture, soil, climatic conditions, methods of harvesting, methods of drying, all those things make a difference. Now, of course, with chilli, one of the things that is very important is that as the chilli ripens and turns from green to red, you get the levels of naturally occurring sugars will increase. Then when the chilies are dried, and if they're dried carefully, you get a caramelization of these sugars, and that's what develops the lovely, rich flavor notes. And what I was really impressed with the New Guinea bird's eye chilies, that when they were ground to a powder, They had this most beautiful aroma, probably could be compared a little bit to the Mexican habanero chili in terms of the beautiful, rich aroma, and of course, a pretty pungent heat level. You'll find with a chili that most of the heat is in the seeds and the seed-bearing placenta. It's a substance called capsaicin. Now, what is quite counterintuitive is that the more orange in colour that a chili is, the hotter it will be. So if you get a chili that's quite a bright red, it's generally a fairly mild one because you've got a higher ratio of flesh that's being ground up. Whereas when it's a quite an orange-coloured chili, there's lots of seeds and seed-bearing placenta there, which sort of makes it a pale colour, which is quite interesting. But as I say, it's quite counterintuitive. You'd expect it to be the other way around.
That's right. Yes, I was looking at buying chilies myself yesterday and trying to work all those things out. What are the hottest ones and whether it's the red or the orange?
Yeah, well, there's a very basic rule of thumb. Usually the smaller a chili, the hotter it is. And that's because the ratio of seeds to outer flesh is always going to be higher in a little chili. And as a chili gets bigger and bigger, it gets more like a paprika or a capsicum, where you've got very little heat because you've got lots of flesh and very little seeds. But the pale, the more yellow colour of the chili, that's when we're talking about the chili powder. When you're looking at, say, fresh chilies, the colour is not a big indication as to the heat level. It's more the size of the chili.
So the ones you're bringing down from Papua New Guinea, are you facing any supply problems? Because it is quite, some of these areas are quite remote and transport is not terribly efficient. How are the supply problems?
Look, it's early days yet. We sort of, fortunately, we're a small business. We don't sell to the big supermarket chains. We're reasonably flexible, and it's not as if we suddenly require, you know, monumental volumes. And we always, you know, like to give new things a go. And yes, there is a risk that sometimes something will be unavailable for a period due to seasonality or, as you say, just general issues that might relate to transportation, etc. But I don't see a big problem emerging with this. And as I say, time will tell. This will be our first effort into the chili and ginger side. So it'll be very interesting to see how it goes. But I've got a fair bit of faith in the fact that we'll be able to get what we need when we need it.
Sounds good. Now, did you manage to sort of build relationships with the farmers there? Because in their society, you know, relationships are really important and they like to know who they're dealing with. And so did you have that opportunity?
I would say no, probably not, because, see, I'm dealing through a local agent who is, of course, buying from the farmers and then doing any extra drying or processing needed before shipping it to me. So it's more the relationship of the local company with these people, that they have a very good relationship with the farmers because they've taken this approach that they really want to help them to earn a reasonable income. And so that was good. But yeah, to be probably putting too strong a take on it to say that I've developed a wonderful relationship with them.
Perhaps that'll come later.
Hopefully that'll come later, that's right. Exactly. Hopefully we'll have lots of success and we'll sell lots of chili and ginger here, and that'll make them very happy. And of course, the other one that I got there was a green chili powder. Now, that's pretty unusual, because when chilies are green, they've got a very different flavour profile to a ripe red chili. And if you just get a green chili and you try and dry it normally, then it'll just sort of go brownish and it won't have much flavour. It's not much use. But what the people are doing in Port Moresby, who we're dealing with, is they're buying the fresh green chilies from the farmers. They're then taking them and slicing them and drying them in a dehydrator. And what this does is it gives us a beautiful green chili powder with a lovely fresh green flavour, which is ideal for putting into Asian dishes, Thai, something like a Thai green curry, those sorts of dishes. The green chili works really well.
Sounds wonderful.
We've actually, and it's a bit like a jalapeno chili in flavour profile. So that is actually one that's quite a breakthrough in terms of having something that's quite unique. And again, we hope that we'll be able to maintain a sustainable supply of them.
Sounds wonderful. Now, where do we find these? If we want to buy them, how do we do it?
Best thing to do is to just go to the Herbie's Spices website, which is just herbies.com.au. And at the moment, they're on the home page as new products. They're sitting up there. But, of course, if you just do a search of the website for chili or ginger, you will see them all come up as well.
Sounds fantastic. Can't wait to try that green chili.
Oh, yeah, it's actually one of my favourites. I put some in some guacamole the other night. That was fabulous.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Ian.
A pleasure.
That was Sue Ahern speaking with Ian Hemphill.